Hi, everybody. We are starting off season 9, episode 1, with a look into key person insurance. This is a very, very useful business protection policy to protect a business in the event that somebody who's really, say, a key person isn't able to work anymore. This is the Practical Protection Podcast. So we're going to go through some of the really key parts of key person cover. Don't worry, it's not going to be too long. And I'll give an example of some costing towards the end as well. I'm just going to go through the really key bits that you need to know. And as with anything like this, and I say on these business, protection episodes that I'm doing, type in key person insurance into Google, type in an insurer's name, and you will usually find really, really useful articles. They're giving you examples, giving you the most recent updates. Do always have the Cure Insurance website as well, where I've done similar, where I've really broken it down, given examples on the key person insurance side of things. And you do have this podcast to refer back to, which is good as well. So key person cover, basically what it suggests is somebody that the business will struggle if they're not there. That might be that they're not there temporarily. It might be that they die and they're not back ever again, obviously. But ultimately, it's where we are saying to somebody, if it's an employee, so obviously we would maybe look at it, a company director is very, very likely a key person, and we probably want to make sure that they've got key person cover. But it might also be an employee. It might be somebody who does a certain function in a business that it would be really, really hard if they weren't there. Now, that could be something that they're doing quite pivotal in terms of, I don't know, IT systems. They might be a manager and that you are really, really reliant on them. If those people suddenly aren't available, then the company directors are going to have to either try and fulfill that role themselves, which is going to be very intense on top of their usual workload, or they're going to have to try and recruit someone else. You know, when we talk about key person cover, we're often thinking about insuring against the loss of business contacts. Maybe that's not like talk about business relationships, like this person's maybe got really valuable connections. And if they're not there, then is this person going to still want to work with your company? Or are they going to, do they know the company well? Or is it just that one person they have a really key connection with? The recruitment of somebody new, very, very time consuming, very, very difficult to do. Training the new person, obviously, again, very time consuming, very resource intensive for a company. And the lost profit that might be there as well, because of the fact that maybe having to divert people to try and fill this role a little bit until we've got someone in who's really up at pace and everything. So basically, it is an insurance on the company. And if we're positioning it to employees as well, it's basically saying to this person, it's quite a nice compliment, really, to basically say you are incredibly valuable to us, like, you know, ridiculously valuable to us. And if something happens to you, we are stuck, you know, massively stuck. And we would really like to take this insurance out on you. Obviously, you really do need the person's permission. Because we are going to need to go through the full medical underwriting and, you know, potentially, depending upon the amounts, we'll have to do financial. Well, the financial accounts would be the company's accounts, not the individual. We are going to potentially have to go through medicals and things like that. So it's not something that we can just do and, you know, that's it in a sense. We need to have that person's permission. So a lot of the time, people have an idea in mind as to how much they would like if a key person does become incapacitated. Now, we are talking about life insurance here. We are talking about things like critical illness cover too. And what's going to happen if this person can't work? And there's a few different ways that we might be calculating this. Now, again, as always, you might be speaking to the business and you might also be speaking to their accountants, maybe. Might even be a financial advisor involved somewhere along the line. If you are a financial advisor, it might well be you. So that might be all fine and dandy. But ultimately, there's a few different ways that we might determine the amount of key person cover that we are going to be wanting. So the firm themselves might decide that they want to have key person cover and that they know, you know, sort of like how much is needed. They might decide to do a multiple of income. So this might be saying, right, well, actually, you know, we're going to need to really, really cope with this. So they might do something like really simple, like saying like 5 to 10 times the annual salary. that's, you know, sort of like what we're wanting to be doing. And, you know, we feel that that's a suitable amount, a good amount of insurance. And that can work. They're both very simple ones. There is more specific things that we can potentially do. And obviously I will take you through that. The key things, and I have to say, I forgot to mention as well, it can also be income protection cover. So let's just, so we've got life insurance, critical illness cover, and income protection that could potentially be done for this. I'm going to focus primarily on the life insurance and critical illness side of things, just because, again, it's easy for the podcast without making it too long for everybody to listen to and my rambling on. So with the business, because the client is the business, they might decide, they might do a multiple of income. They might do what's known as a proportion of profits, which can be a bit of a faff. But some insurers do have online calculators to help you with this. But essentially what you do is you take the person's salary, you divide it by the total salary for the whole company, you then multiply it by net profits, and then multiply it again by the amount of years you need to potentially replace them. Obviously, that is doing it in a really, really technical way. You can do it. But again, when I was mentioning, I say again, I said this in the previous episode on shareholder protection. So when I'm saying again, I'm thinking back to when I spoke previously. 80% of businesses in the UK are SMEs. A lot of them are small businesses. A lot of them are family run. And sometimes it can be quite difficult with small businesses to, because they're already a lot of the time paying for all the insurances that they need anyway. And, you know, it can sometimes with key person cover, it's often something where we need to explain the need for it to companies and for them to see the value of it. And we want it to be as simple as possible, really. So if we're getting to complicated calculations, it can be a bit like, oh, wow, this is just, no, I can't. So, and especially they might not want to give you all of their financial stuff right from the start. You know, that's, some firms will. And I'm not going to go down the thing of sort of saying if you're a good advisor, they'll tell you everything and open you into their arms and everything like that straight away, because, you know, I don't really believe in that at all. I say I'm a business owner, and if somebody came to me and said, oh, you need this insurance, by the way, I need to know your total, this person's salary, the total salary, well, your net profits, da, 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 without knowing any more, without knowing the cost, I would just, like, quite frankly, tell them to jog on. So, you know, I certainly don't, it wouldn't matter how good the advisor was that was speaking to me. I would just be a case of saying, no, not happening. Give me a ballpark figure, that 5 to 10 times salary probably, and we can chat from there. There's another option as well. We've got a profit-based formula as well, which is you simply take the amount of profit that that person makes and times it by the amount of years needed to replace. So that's obviously quite a nice, simplish one to do. The higher the amount that you go, the more that you're going to need to justify it, though, potentially with financial accounts to quantify with the insurer. It depends upon the value that the business holds, how much insurance that person is going to need. You know, we might need to start providing more evidence. Not always, but sometimes. So I'd say this is something where we are saying to an employee that we would be lost without them. It's complementing their value. It needs to be an employer and employee relationship. And just to obviously clarify that, if someone is a managing director of a limited company, they are classed as an employee, because that's just the way that it is. But it does need to be short term as well, typically 5 years, possibly 10 years. And it is best to do renewable. The reason that we want to do renewable, as many of us who work in a protection insurance space will be familiar, things happen all the time. The amount of claims that we see happening in terms of income protection, in terms of critical illness cover, it's a lot. And when you're looking at things now in terms of statistics, we're now at a point where it's now more than 1 in 2 people will be diagnosed with cancer at some point in their life. And there's other ones as well that are just phenomenal. I do quite a bit in terms of like the amount of people that are diagnosed with Parkinson's, a heart attacks, and that every day in the UK. And it's scary. It's really, really scary. So the reason we're going to try and do renewable is that it's often a little bit more expensive than just doing 5 or 10 years. But the reason to do renewable is that if that person is still there, and if they're as good as they are, as you think they are, enough to be able to be doing this insurance as well, then you're going to hope that they are still with you in 5, 10 years' time, probably. Then we want to be able to make sure that we can carry on this policy without having to go through medical underwriting again. And just, you know, the potential issues that we might have at that time. There's lots and lots of things that can happen in 5 years, even more so in 10 years. So we want to be on top of that. Now for the technical part with key person insurance, we have what's known as the Anderson principles. So if you're my age, I'm 38. If you hear Anderson, you're obviously naturally going to think of The Matrix and Mr. Anderson, which is always really nice because then I kind of go into like Matrix mode when I'm thinking of Key Person Cover. But anyway, so this is a principle from many, 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 many decades ago. I don't really know why it's there. It just is. And it's just one of those things where it's like it's a rule and we have to follow it. Again, if you ever need to sort of go into this, really, really want to understand it and everything like that, reach out to the business protection specialists at insurers. They are incredibly knowledgeable. They do this day in, day out, and they can really, really help. I've always found them incredibly helpful, incredibly eager to be able to explain this kind of thing in a really, really understandable way. But essentially, Anderson Principle says that if you have more than a 5% shareholding in the company, you kind of, in some ways, kind of stop being just someone who has shares. You go more as into an actual, the business owner. And that doesn't do anything in the sense of, you know, they can still have key person cover. That's not an issue. But they don't get the tax advantages on the premiums. So corporation tax relief is allowable on the premiums when there's less than a 5% shareholding or no shareholding at all. Because you don't have to be a shareholder to have key person cover, but this Anderson principle, it's a really specific thing. It brings the shareholder aspect into the key person cover considerations. They basically say you just will not get the corporation tax relief if you have more than a 5% shareholding. So as an example, I am obviously equal shareholding with Alan in Cure Holder. So obviously as a joint business, if I have key person cover, which I do, we don't get corporation tax relief. I have more than the 5% shareholding. So I'm just not allowed it. You can potentially apply to be allowed it. For myself, there'd be absolutely no point because, you know, obviously it's equal. That there's no way that I can turn on and say, well, look, I don't own the company at all. You know, I clearly do. But there could be that there's someone who does have a bit of shareholding, who doesn't have anywhere near influencing power. It's maybe been given as like an employee perk at some point. A very nice employee perk, obviously. And it's obviously as well, if it's over 5%. And what you can do is the person can apply to their local tax inspector to see if they can be allowed to get corporation tax relief. It is not guaranteed. And as an advisor, you need to make sure that they're aware of this. And again, think about your demands and needs letter, your recommendation report, which says to the person, this is what happens. If you have this much shareholding, you won't get, you know, the corporation tax relief. Now, that's why it can be quite useful speaking to the accountants as these things are happening. Because of the fact that they might automatically think there is. So we just need to make sure, because ultimately, whilst again, it's not our responsibility, and it's set, you know, in the sense of as the accountant, you know, we're not doing those payments, we're not offsetting things against tax. It is our responsibility to make sure that everybody is aware, because the business is very unlikely a specialist in key person cover. The accountant is very unlikely a specialist in key person cover. They're very likely aware of it. But not a specialist in it. So just make sure that you are being upright and upfront about what that is. So that's pretty much it. Key person cover. I think it's quite nice and simple, to be honest, in many ways. It's just a case if we're doing the policy, something happens to you, the business is going to benefit because they really, really need to cope without you. Got to make sure we're aware of the Anderson principles, done and dusted. So to give you an example of that, we had, as an example, somebody in their mid-30s, non-smoker, and we're doing key person cover of £250,000, increasing life and critical illness cover. And we did it on a 10-yearly renewable policy. And that came to £66 per month. So that's just to give you an idea of the potential pricing on this. Thank you for listening, everybody. Next time, Matt Rann is going to be back with me for the first time in season 9. And we're going to talk about protection insurance and hypertrophic cardiomyopathy, which is a heart condition that I come across quite a bit. And it'd be interesting to just make sure that we help everybody to understand what that condition is and what it can mean for the different insurances. Please do visit the website practical-protection.co.uk to be able to access all of our episodes and also claim your CPD certificate too, thanks to our sponsors, the Octa members. Thank you, everybody. Bye.